T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We got to the waitforit.com hotline. Welcome in the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, Wes Durham. Wes, how are you?
Wes.
Good, guys. What's happening?
A lot of reaction to the schedule, of course. I do want to ask you a couple college football questions in a little bit, but we'll start with the Falcons, and we'll start with week one. Probably nice to have a home game week one for the first time in a few years.
Yeah, although you're playing a team who has been really good going west to east since Russell Wilson joined them. I think Seattle's 21-3 since Russell Wilson was a rookie coming east. So you're going to have your hands full in week one. There's no question about that. But, no, it's great to be at home. And then, you play, three of the first five. The interesting part about the schedule for me, guys, is that you don't have consecutive home or consecutive road games till week 11.
Right.
When you play the Raiders and the Saints in back-to-back weeks in 12 and 13 at home. Outside of that, it's very similar to the schedule a few years ago where you didn't have consecutive home or consecutive road games. Atlanta went the entire year that season, but this year it goes, two-thirds of the season for sure.
Well, and Wes, when you look at just the first four games, I mean, you're going to know a lot about this Falcons team when you talk about they're starting off with Seattle, then they're going to Dallas, then they got Chicago, mm-hmm. then they Monday night against Green Bay. The importance of it's always important to get out to a great start, but I'm talking about when your leash isn't as long as far as the coaching staff and everything to get out to a fast start. You got to come out at least, Wes, 3-1, 2-2.
Well, I don't know if you can project exactly the front number, Randy, but I understand your question. I agree with your point. I think momentum based on the way last year ended, the 6-2 finish on the backside becomes really important for this team. And again, I mean, similar to the conversation I think a lot of pro sports are having, what's that going to look like given the different kind of offseason that everybody's had, right? I mean, I think that, the preseason games become a little more important if they go off on schedule, things of that nature. But, and however training camp looks when we get to late July and early August. I think you're right, though. I think certainly momentum early is going to be important. You want to kind of put your name in the hat behind, I mean, my goodness, for a team that couldn't get out of its own way at times last year, Tampa's getting an incredible amount of love because they signed the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And look, I think they're going to be better because they took the worst kid in the draft and the offensive line needed to be addressed. And we all know that they've been very, very formidable on the defensive side, but Atlanta needs to stay in that conversation behind New Orleans and Tampa, at least right now, the way I look at it. And I think you beat Seattle in week one, you go to Dallas, you come out of there 3-1, 2-2, like you're talking about. I think you're in the discussion. And then, the differential in the schedule, and I tweeted this out last night, I don't know that I've ever seen this will be 17 years I've done the ball games. I don't know that I've ever seen Atlanta play the six division opponents in sequence, like they're going to do this year. You play Carolina in two, then you play New Orleans in two, and then you play Tampa two of the last 3 weeks. I don't know that I've ever seen that happen. And, I know Howard Katz in New York spits out all these, different models of the schedule, but I'm trying to remember seeing some other team that had that sequence. And somehow or another, it stopped on Atlanta's number this year for that, for sure.
Yeah, it is interesting. There's been a number of quirks when you look through other teams' schedules as well. Is there any advantage to that, seeing those teams back-to-back, and then you see your other division opponent back-to-back, and then you see Tom Brady and the Bucs week 15 and 17? Is there anything to that you can look at and say, I like that for the Falcons?
I don't know, Randy. What do you think? I mean, you can tell me about the meeting rooms. I think it makes your prep a little better.
It makes it a whole lot easier. Yeah, it makes it a lot easier because you don't have to put in a completely new game plan, but you can. Okay, well, we're running this zone play this way, but they're playing this way, so we're going to put it like in a zone bend play. I mean, that's pretty much the advantages that you, not advantages, but the things that you don't have to worry about as far as game planning when you're. But the familiarity, anyways, with these guys is something that you know the Falcons will be fine with. But Wes, when you break it down the schedule game by game, there's no, you know, when you talk about the momentum from last year, how much of that will be going into week one because of how good Russell Wilson is? I didn't know that record till you said. I'm like, dog. You know, and they always complain about the body clock. But obviously that doesn't matter when you're talking about a team like Seattle.
Well, if you look at Dan Quinn, he came from obviously the Pete Carroll tree to a degree. And you look at his record going east to west, it's not bad either. I mean – so there's something that Pete obviously has a handle on when they come east. Now, I'm not sure the last time they came east to open the season. I'll have to go back and look that up. But I saw that number this morning that they're 21-3 playing on the East Coast and or in the Eastern time zone. That's a pretty compelling stat when you think about, you know, Russell Wilson and how good he is. Remember, they won the Super Bowl in New Jersey. So,
yeah.
I think you've got to have the – and I don't know. I think that Atlanta will because of the way DQ's built the team – and he and Thomas talk about the team. I think you're bringing enough guys back who were a part of that second half run. And I think this team will have some energy to it. I also think, too, for all the veteran pieces they've got, guys, you know, older than 7 years in the league, I think they've still got enough youth and energy about them that, especially with some of these younger guys that they've taken, I'm kind of interested to see the kind of the carefree youth of this football team play and see what they bring to the table because there's some pretty talented guys they've taken. I mean, when you start thinking about what they are defensively and things like that, they're going to have some energy and some athleticism. I think it'll be intriguing at least early.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to talk since the draft came and went. I really enjoyed the conversation we had draft week about how the Falcons might focus up front. They might focus in the secondary, maybe linebacker. Well, now we've seen what they did. They took a corner in the first round, and they took a defensive tackle in the second round. What did you make of the way that the draft played out for the Falcons?
I can't say I was surprised. I thought, you know, obviously we talked about those three levels in particular, and I thought they did a really good job there, especially the Davidson pick. I'm a big fan of that kid. I think he's the kind of guy that you can almost plug and play in some degree. A.J. Terrell, I think, is a talented kid. He had a bad night in New Orleans. But there are a lot of kids who are really, really good players who have a bad night. He just happened to have one against Ja'Marr Chase and LSU in the title game. But elsewise, I thought his last 2 years at Clemson, he was really, really solid. So I'm okay with the A.J. Terrell pick. I'm curious about the kid from Fresno. I think he's athletically, I think he's a blur. I mean, you see the hit he put on Southern Cal. I mean, he can fit now. I mean, and that's the thing that I see is, you know, another athletic linebacker, a kid who can run probably east and west as well as he can north and south in many respects. And I'm interested to see kind of how they package them up. The reality, Andy, is this defense is more, you know, probably 4-2-5 than it is, you know, 4-3. And it's more base nickel, and then they package around that. And I think it has to be base nickel in many respects because your most talented guys are in the, player for player. I mean, you want to have KZ on the field. You want to get all those cats, Sheffield and the like on the field, Keanu on the field. I mean, I think if you start talking to these guys when camp begins, they're probably pretty excited about the challenge that's in front of them from the scheduling perspective and from where they are in experience-wise too.
Wes, when you like you're talking about the 4-2-5 and all those things, so do you anticipate because we were kicking it around because you did draft AJ Terrell in the first round, gives you some flexibility because Sheffield can play in the nickel. But Andy brought up a great point. Ricardo Allen can play in the nickel also. Does this give them an opportunity to get him on the field more? Because we know that KZ is going to be the starting free safety next year.
Sure, and I think what you have to look at, Randy, is and just from a strategic standpoint, how do you game plan for the combinations they can put in the secondary, right? I mean, if you're somebody who's trying to scout the look and all of a sudden Ricardo Allen is playing, you know, if he's shading boundary corner side, right? I mean, you know, I think Oliver's going to be interesting, how all those pieces get put together, especially Keanu, right? Because maybe this is the year we see Keanu Neal play more down than, you know, kind of straight center field in front of Ricardo, right? I think the combinations are going to be really, really interesting, because I think what we're talking about is a team, again, with a tremendous amount of athleticism and, to that degree, flexibility in who they put on the field. I mean, look at the front combinations. You don't forget, with Tyler Davison now, you know, he had a pretty productive year for what he was asked to do, and I'm kind of excited to see he and Davidson, and it's Davison and Davidson. That'll
right.
be a
be
good
careful.
Trick for the radio announcer.
Yeah.
But you've got him and Grady, and just kind of the way it sets up with Dante Fowler. I mean, there's some pretty interesting things that could happen for Atlanta on the defensive side of the ball. And I think early, I mean, if you're Pete Carroll and those guys, what the hell are you thinking about on opening day? Because you can't go back and watch last year's tape. I mean, you can watch some of it to get probably the framework of it, Randy, but
right.
the details of it, Russell Wilson's going to see probably a pretty heavy dose of unscouted stuff when he starts taking snaps at Mercedes-Benz in week one.
Hey, Wes, I know it probably doesn't come as a surprise to anybody just based on the way the NFL offseason has gone. They've been business as usual, but the way that some of these week one games have been scheduled, even some division games, Bucks and Saints, did that give you any indication about the confidence that Roger Goodell and the NFL have in playing games week one?
Some, yes. I think the way they're going to play them and what it's going to look like may be two different things. But, yeah, I think they feel like they can at least have a fairly confident plan. But, you know, I still think that we're 75 days away from them having to make any kind of major, you know, decisions on the schedule because, again, I know I talked to Hugh and John about this, and I mentioned it with you guys. I think with the NFL, you're dealing with just smaller numbers, not necessarily less important numbers, but you're dealing with smaller numbers in terms of moving these teams around once you start playing those games. You know, we could all see the preseason get scrapped if it's not a conducive scenario to move the teams around. But once you get to the regular season, you know, what's the landscape for our country from a health and medical perspective look like? And remember, too, it was noted, I think, last night by Adam Schefter that the league has put this schedule together where they could take week one and essentially make it week 18 if they had
right.
to. That and the fact, I think, the other wrinkle in this that I found curious, Randy and Andy, was that the week two opponent is your bye week. He's a partner in the bye week. So, in other words, you could move that week two if you had to.
Oh,
right.
Huh.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing that I think, you know, when I was the guy who foolishly said, oh, don't worry, they'll play all the AFC at the front and they'll put all the NFC stuff at the back
the
and da-da-da. Well, they're a lot smarter than, you know, old Elon grad Durham is here. So I think there are a lot of nooks and crannies to it. And, you know, and I think that's a pretty applicable thing to do for the NFL. And I think that, you know, you were mentioning college earlier. I think there's a lot of models out there collegiately that are probably going to be built in a little bit of a different box, but along the same kind of concerns about scheduling and dates and movements and things like that.
Okay, Wes, we got about 30, because the college thing. You're hearing one thing from the Pac-12, you're hearing one thing from here in the South. Who's going to have the right answer?
Oh, I don't know that we know anything close, Randy, to what the right mm-hmm. answer is. I think what we have is, we have a lot of people who are really working well together. I can tell you from the ACC perspective, the teamwork and collaboration that's going on is fantastic. And that's a north-south landscape league. The SEC is an east-west league that covers 11 states. The ACC, obviously, with Boston at the top end and Syracuse and places like that. And you also have to remember they got Notre Dame in consideration because of the package of games they play, too. So I think a lot of people are working well together right now, but you're getting a lot of political involved, governor of Oregon, governor of California, things like that from the Pac-12's perspective. That could very well have a major impact on them, but I still think the SEC and the ACC, from my understanding, are working very well together in their respective leagues to try and get something done here to have a college football season.
Wes, we appreciate it. Great stuff,
always.
As always. Have a great weekend.
Thanks,
all right,
Wes.
Guys, take care. You too. Be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.